Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, May 21st.
We are the South Fork Radio Class, reporting for K-Mud.
I am Olivia Wilson.
I'm Angelina Apodaca.
I'm Chevy Brio Van Meter.
I'm Avery Olivas Benvenuti.
I'm Cam Washington.
I'm Malia Staffslin.
I'm Alethea Berger. We are the South Fork High School Radio Class reporting for KMUD.
In tonight's news, Humboldt might have to use hotel tax revenue.
An outlook gloomy for Mendocino County budget.
Stay tuned, news on these stories and more, coming right up.
With its budget in bad shape, Humboldt County may use a voter-approved source of tax revenue for county services, Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors has held off on making hotel bed tax spending decisions due to a looming budget shortfall. Use of transient occupancy tax, or TOT revenue, was up for decision-making at the May 7th supervisors meeting, but with a budget deficit, actions suspended. The voter approval of Measure J opened up funding for housing, arts, tourism, film production outreach, and public safety. It increased TOT tax by 2% and went into effect in early 2023. Supervisors approved use of $880,000 of Measure J revenue for the various categories in the current fiscal year. The next fiscal year begins July 1st, and supervisors have the option of using Measure J revenue to bolster the budget's anemic general fund. During a public comment period, representatives of arts groups vouched for the economic benefits of arts and culture, and Cassandra Heseltine of the county's Film Commission said funding for the Forest Moon Star Wars Festival is an investment that pays off.
Last year on 44,000, we were able to have over 6,500 attendees in the region, 22 unique website visits, and over 80,000 people were reached on social media when we threw our event. We were in over a dozen outlets, ranging from New York Times to San Francisco Gate to ARP, which also sent a photographer up, and their post actually got 25,000 likes when they posted about our event. We had people from all over the state, around the surrounding states, from the East Coast, even people from New Zealand said had they known about it ahead of time, they would have flew out last year. Supposedly, they're coming this year. We had out-of-town costumers, about 75 of them, and many of them are returning.
The Forest Moon Festival appeals to County Sheriff Billy Hansel, who said he's, quote, a huge Star Wars fan. But his department is anticipating cuts and likely layoffs.
We are looking at cuts across the county. We're looking at a structural deficit. All these things that we can't operate our normal county business based upon the lack of county funds in there. And I know we need to work on generating more revenue. I'm all about that. But right now, we may have to lay off people this year. So my push would be to vote for option one. If you can't vote for option one right now, then delay this vote to a time when we figure out our budget for this next year. And then at that point in time, once you're able to fund everything that you think the board needs to fund and the county needs as far as essential services goes, and then come back here and see what you have left over to provide, you know, for the arts and for the film and for some of these great programs that are talked about here today.
Supervisors Natalie Arroyo and Michelle Bushnell make up the board's ad hoc budget committee, and they've been breaking a lot of bad budget news to county departments. Bushnell said she appreciates events like the Forest Moon Festival, but county services are at risk.
Natalie and I went through the budget ad hoc process, and it's very painful. We had to tell each department that we're looking at layoffs and we're looking at cuts, and we won't be able to fund essential services. And while I do think and know that the arts are so important to our county, I am leaning towards option one, and I'm going to apologize all over myself because fiscally, I just can't right now, knowing that we have budget talks in less than a month, and we're going to tell people no, that they can't fund their departments. And it's just so difficult. I am looking forward to the discussion from this board, but I just know that we're just in really tough times, and I don't want people to have to lose their jobs, and we're already looking at that right now.
Supervisors unanimously agreed to hold off on Measure J spending until the budget takes more definitive shape and impacts are better known. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Short-term rental, STR, operators in the inland areas of unincorporated Humboldt County can now apply for STR permits. A short-term rental, STR, refers to property that is rented out for short periods, typically less than 30 days at a time. These properties are often listed on platforms like Airbnb and Vrbo, and can range from entire homes and apartments to individual rooms within a residence. STRs are popular among travelers seeking alternative accommodations to hotels, providing unique, home-like experiences in various locations. On March 5, 2024, the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors adopted the Short-Term Rental Ordinance, which requires short-term rental operators to obtain permits for their STRs. Existing operators have until Monday, June 3rd, to apply for an STR permit, be eligible for exceptions from neighborhood concentration limits and the overall cap. These regulations control the maximum number of STRs allowed in specific areas of the county. Applications received after June 3rd will be treated as new operations and will be subject to these regulations. STR permits are not yet available for operators in the coastal zone, as the Coastal Short-Term Rental Ordinance is awaiting certification from the California Coastal Commission. For more information on the Short-Term Rental Ordinance, visit the county's Short-Term Rental Ordinance webpage. For further assistance, please email planningbuilding@co.humboldt.ca.us or call 707-445-7245.
The California Highway Patrol has released information on a semi-truck accident that occurred in the Trinity River near Helena on May 17, 2024, at around 5:50 p.m. The California Highway Patrol CHP dispatch received a report of a semi-truck that had veered off the road and into the Trinity River near Helena. The solo male driver managed to extricate himself from the vehicle after it crashed into the river. Emergency units from multiple agencies quickly responded to the scene. Initially, Trinity County Life Support began transporting the driver to the hospital. Subsequently, the CHP Northern Division helicopter H-16 arrived and transported the driver to Mercy Medical Center in Reading. Alcohol and drugs are not suspected to have been factors in this collision. Trinity River CHP extends its gratitude to allied agencies for their invaluable assistance in this incident.
The Eureka Police Department, in collaboration with agents from the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, the ABC, conducted minor decoy operations on May 14, 2024, leading to two citations for selling alcohol to minors. However, the Eureka Police Department has not named the violating businesses. This operation involved minors under the direct supervision of department agents attempting to purchase alcohol from 19 retail licenses in Eureka. Clerks who sell alcohol to minors face a minimum fine of $250 and 24 to 32 hours of community service for a first violation. Additionally, ABC may take administrative action against the alcoholic beverage license of the business involved, which can include a fine, suspension, or permanent revocation of the license. Conducting these operations helps us increase public safety and reduce underage drinking, said Chief Brian Stevens. Statistics indicate that drivers under the age of 21 have a much higher risk of being involved in a crash compared to older drivers. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, about 25% of fatal crashes involve underage drinking. Minor decoy operations have been conducted by local law enforcement throughout the state since the 1980s. Initially, the violation rate of retail establishments selling to minors was as high as 40 to 50%. When conducted routinely, the rate has dropped to below 10% in some cities. In 1994, the California Supreme Court unanimously ruled that the use of minor decoys is a valid legal tool for law enforcement to ensure compliance with the law. Funding for this program was provided by a grant from ABC through the Department's Alcohol Policing Partnership, APP program.
Turning to Mendocino, outlook gloomy for county budget. KZYX's Sarah Reith reports.
At a preliminary budget workshop last week, the Board of Supervisors heard that at this point, there does not appear to be a way to balance the county budget. Revenue is stagnant and expenses have gone up. This year's budget was adopted using $7 million in one-time revenues, which will not be available for fiscal year 24-25. Supervisor Dan Jurdy asked CEO Darcy Antle if his summary of the preliminary budget numbers was about right.
So we adopted this year's budget with a $7 million structural deficit, borrowing or taking one-time expense revenues to pay for ongoing expenses. But during the course of the year, though, we pulled back about $2.5 million of general fund from social services. That doesn't account for increase in costs. That's just so if we had a status quo budget, I guess we would be only short $4.5 million. But because we don't have a status quo budget, we have rising labor costs, benefit costs, et cetera. That's probably where the shortfall still puts us back at around $10 million.
So, yes, but through the course of this year, that $7 million, we were able to shrink that to 5.5. So we're really 1.7 of one-time funds. Then to the next question about increase in wage, when we increased the wage earlier this fiscal year, we went to the department's heads and said, can you afford this? And they said yes, with the exception of public safety. We knew that. But everybody else is absorbing right now those increases that came into effect in January.
Jurdy also asked if it was possible to verify what he called anecdotal reports about buildings that have not been assessed. He estimated that if 3,000 such structures were discovered and added to the tax rolls, that would bring in $4.4 million in revenue. Supervisors have requested monthly reports from the assessor's office about newly discovered properties, but do not yet know if they're all being taxed properly. Acting Deputy CEO Tony Rake said the IT department could run reports, but only the assessor can validate them. He told the board he could bring them more complete information at the meeting on April 23rd. There will also be a fee hearing on that day, when supervisors plan to discuss how much realignment money to direct to environmental health through public health. Recent steep increases in fees were due to supervisors' direction for full cost recovery through fees, which led staff to stop using realignment funds to cover some of the permitting costs. Public health gets around $3 million in realignment funds each year, and environmental health, which is part of public health, averages between $350,000 and $400,000. The rollout of CalAIMS, a Medi-Cal reform initiative, may offset the loss in local funding that will take place as a result of Prop 1. Dr. Janine Miller, who heads the county's behavioral health department, said Prop 1, which passed narrowly in March, will result in $140 million redirected from counties across the state to fund state programs. She outlined some of the local impacts she's anticipating.
We are going to have to look at a potential $1 million hit in how we offset some of our current treatment services. We also know that it's going to change how we do prevention, early intervention, and that might impact some of our local providers. As we see a reduction in some of our prevention funds, you will see that part of the 10% going into the state, 4% will be given to California Department of Public Health to do some campaigns on prevention. But that won't be going into the behavioral health. It'll be going into public health.
Miller said that so far, CalAIMS is going smoothly for Mendocino County, but she won't know for months how it will affect local mental health care services, if at all.
My hope is that with payment reform, that we're able to make up that $1 million through the new Medi-Cal payment reform system. If we are not able to, and we're going to have a better understanding of that at the end of this year, whether or not what the state had projected was that CalAIMS was going to give the counties more dollars to reinvest into behavioral health. A lot of counties are struggling with CalAIMS. Some were really struggling with getting payments. I think most of them have gone through. Thankfully, we have not struggled with CalAIMS. We have got our payments through. We are seeing the funds coming in and out. What we can't say yet 100% is whether or not it actually is putting more money into the system. So the hope is that CalAIMS actually does put more money into the system, so the $1 million is maybe offset with CalAIMS. Should that not happen, we'll probably have to do a mix of both. We're going to have to revamp services to see, really look at number of services people are getting and possibly cut some non-mandated services. Because we're a managed care plan, there are certain entitlements that we have to provide regardless of whether we have the funding.
Miller said some Medi-Cal funds might be available for patients in board and care facilities. Services provided to patients who are incarcerated in jail or juvenile hall will be billable 90 days before they're released. She does not yet know how this will offset the general fund costs of running the jail, but the county will automatically be able to bill Medi-Cal for 90 days of treatment for every youth sentenced to juvenile hall. Chief Probation Officer Eisen Locatelli, who also runs juvenile hall, asked the board for support in opposing two bills that he said will increase unfunded state mandates and burden the county.
I'm going to want to bring before you a letter of opposition to SB 1057 and AB 2882. Both have substantial impacts on both 1991 realignment and 2011 realignment, and they're not in the benefit of the county. They are very much like Prop 1 was for mental health, but it is for juvenile services and adult services.
The board will hold a fee hearing and learn more about realignment on Tuesday. There will be another budget workshop on May 7th. Final budget hearings will take place on June 4th and 5th. For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Wright. For all our local news, with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.
KMUD's Matt LaFever brings today's headlines from Mendocino County, where search and rescue personnel trained for helicopter operations. Ukiah residents are in the thick of road repairs, and Coast residents gear up for the big top in this report.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Tuesday, May 21st, 2024. This last weekend, a three-day helicopter training event was held, bringing together search and rescue volunteers from across Northern California. The event took place at the Lake Mendocino Spillway from May 17th to May 19th and was jointly hosted by the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team and the Napa County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team. The training aimed to equip volunteers with essential skills for interacting with helicopters in rural search environments. Participants learned how to safely approach and exit aircraft, understand the capabilities of different helicopter models, and practiced crucial maneuvers such as being inserted and extracted from remote areas. The sessions also included training on packaging and loading victims onto helicopters for medical transport. For search and rescue personnel, learning how to safely work with helicopters is vital for operations. Training such as these could make a significant difference in real-life rescue scenarios. The event featured various helicopter models, providing a broad exposure for volunteers. Numerous organizations and agencies contributed time, equipment, and expertise, including the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, CAL FIRE, the California National Guard, and the California Highway Patrol. Search and rescue teams from Mendocino, Napa, Lake, Marin, and Sonoma counties, as well as specialized units like the Bay Area Mountain Rescue Unit and CALSAR, participated in the event. And now to Ukiah, where after a long winter, construction season has officially begun, where three major street improvement projects are now fully underway. These projects aim to modernize and improve the city's infrastructure, but will require patience and cooperation from the community during the process. First up is Ukiah's Recycled Water Phase 4 project. Major construction will continue at Ukiah's water and waste treatment plants throughout the year, but the public-facing part of the project is nearly complete. Starting around Monday, June 17th, Low Gap Road between State and Bush Streets will be completely reconstructed. This includes sidewalk repairs and new curb ramps at the corners. The entire surface of the street will be removed and replaced with new pavement, a process expected to take about a week, requiring detours. This significant project is funded through a $53.7 million grant from the California State Water Resources Control Board. For more information, visit www.cityofukiah.com/recycled-water-phase-4. Next, the downtown streetscape project is entering its final stages. Beginning on Monday, May 20th, crews began removing the old surface of North State Street between Norton and Henry Street. Because this portion of the street was originally constructed with concrete when it was Highway 101, this work will be slower, dustier, and noisier. One side of the street will be done at a time, taking approximately 2 weeks to remove the entire surface. Access to the businesses will be maintained, and traffic will be one way with detours in place. After the surface is removed, the first layer of pavement will be applied, reducing most of the construction's impact. The entire project, funded through grants, Measure Y funds, and utility funds, is anticipated to be complete in July. More details can be found at www.ukiahstreetscape.com. Finally, the Urban Core Rehabilitation and Transportation Project, focusing on Main, Perkins, and Gobi Streets, is just beginning. This season's work will primarily occur on Main Street, where underground sewer and water utilities will be replaced before the street is fully reconstructed between Gobi and Norton. Intermittent street closures will be necessary during construction hours. For the week of May 20th, work will be centered around Clay and Perkins Streets. Residents and delivery vehicles will have access as needed. Future phases, likely in 2025, will include further reconstruction and resurfacing efforts. This project is funded by grants, Measure Y funds, and utility funds. For more information, visit www.cityofukiah.com/UCRT. So why are these projects happening simultaneously? Shifts in state and federal funding led to deferred maintenance, creating a backlog of necessary projects. Many are tied to grants with strict deadlines, and construction has a seasonal window for concrete and pavement work. And now for some fun on the Mendocino County coast, where internationally acclaimed Flynn Creek Circus returns to the village of Mendocino with their all-new show, The Heavy Lift, running from June 29th through July 7th. Under the big top tent, this original film noir detective story features stunts, high comedy, and modern creativity. Follow the bumbling private detective in the case of the missing pigeons alongside a cast of vibrant characters. Adults will appreciate the layered metaphors, while children will enjoy the cartoonish antics. This animal-free performance promises unforgettable entertainment for all ages. Tickets start at $18 with table reservations from $81 for two. Early booking is encouraged. Visit FlynnCreekCircus.com for more information and to purchase tickets. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt LaFever in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
In honor of the service of veterans, active duty, and reserve military members, California State Parks are offering free admission to 143 participating state park units on Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th, 2024. The list of participating park units can be found at parks.ca.gov/Memorial Day 2024. State Parks would like to thank these brave individuals and their families for their immense sacrifices for our nation and our freedom, said California State Parks Director Armando Quintero. We invite those who have served and continue to serve to enjoy the beauty, peace, and rich history of your public lands. This initiative is authorized by AB 150, signed by Governor Brown in 2013, allowing California state parks to offer veterans, active duty, and reserve military personnel from the United States Armed Forces and the National Guard of any state reduced or free day use of participating state parks. To receive free admission, veterans, active duty, and reserve military personnel must show a valid military ID or proof of discharge that is not dishonorable or for bad conduct. Again, more info can be found at parks.ca.gov/Memorial Day 2024.
In national news, Biden commemorates Brown v. Board 70th anniversary. Chloe Behrens reports.
Biden, on Thursday, hosted the relatives of those involved in the Brown v. Board case at the White House. He said his administration is taking steps to continue the promise of the historic ruling.
A living reminder that once upon a time wasn't that long ago, and all the progress we've made is still have more to do. We learn better when we learn together. That's why my administration is increasing funding for schools to bring together students from different backgrounds. My Department of Education is investing $300 million, including another $20 million announced today to support diversity in our schools. My Department of Education provided an additional almost $500 million, $450 million, to ensure teachers in our school reflect the diversity in our country. We're just getting started.
Biden also said his administration is increasing funding for historically black colleges and universities, tribal colleges, and other institutions that serve historically disadvantaged groups. He said that vision contrasts sharply with his likely opponent in the November election, Donald Trump.
My predecessor and his MAGA Republican allies, backed by an extreme Supreme Court, gutted affirmative action in college admissions. My predecessor and his extreme MAGA friends are now going after diversity, equity, and inclusion all across America. They want a country for some, not for all.
The Brown v. Board commemoration was part of a series of events the president is attending which focuses on bolstering the Black vote ahead of this year's election. A recent New York Times Siena College poll showed that former President Trump is polling at about 20% among Black voters. Biden says a second Trump administration would close the doors of opportunity that the Brown decision opened.
That's why the Brown decision to commemorate today is so important. The work of building democracy is a possibility of a democracy worthy of our dreams starts with opening the doors of opportunity for everyone without exception.
On Sunday, President Biden is scheduled to deliver the commencement address at Atlanta's Morehouse College, the alma mater of Martin Luther King Jr. Some Morehouse students and faculty members pressed the university's administration to withdraw the invitation due to President Biden's response to the Israel-Hamas war. However, the speech will go ahead as planned as Biden attempts to win back support from young Black voters. For KPFA News, I'm Chloe Behrens.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Jordan Jumpshot. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mitz, Lauren Schmidt, Sarah Reith, Matt Lefevre, Chloe Burns, and Vic Bedoyan.
We are the South Fork Radio Class, reporting for Gameland.
Thank you for listening.
I am Olivia Wilson.
I'm Angelina Apodaca.
I'm Chevy Brio-Vogler.
I'm Avery Olivas Benvenuti.
I'm Cam Washington.
I'm Malia Staffslin.
I'm Alethea Berger, reporting for KMUD. Thank you for listening.